What is the greatest word in any language? Every language in the world, what is the greatest word?
Love.
Exactly. To love and to be genuinely loved is the deepest need of the human heart. Psychologists tell us that even unborn babies can sense whether they're loved or not, and it impacts their development. To be loved genuinely and truly is a profound need at every age. What is at the very heart of the gospel? Love. John 3:16, we all know it, but let's read it again together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is how... Did I miss the next one? There it is. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The central attribute of God is love. God is love. Love defines his character and his actions. Love informs his actions. Everything concerning the nature and the character of God surrounds this central attribute. Love is at the very heart of God. Love is the very heart of God. Now, why were you born? Why were you born? Ideally, as God designed it to be, ideally, I hope you were born because of the love and lifelong commitment of a mother and father to each other. But if that's not your situation, it is not a takeaway. It is not a takeaway from who you are. It is not a takeaway from your value in the eyes of God, nor should it be in anyone else's eyes either. Because regardless of who you are or the circumstances surrounding your birth and life, you're loved by God. Amen? Make no mistake about it. You are loved by God. And understand this. The real answer to the question, why were you born, is because God loves you. God created you so that he could love you and that you could love him in return. Psalm chapter 139, beginning at verse 13, there are a number of verses I'm going to get you to join me in reading responsively. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Even before you were born, God had his eye on you. God had his hand on you. The underlying purpose in all of God's creation and work throughout human history is so that he could love us and we could love him freely in return. That sums up the whole purpose of it. In a nutshell, God created us, humankind. We turned our back on God and became lost because God cannot look on sin or allow it into his presence because God is a holy God. And so God set out to bring us back to him. And all through the Old Testament, in those days with its ceremonial requirements and sacrifices, in order to appease a holy God, God was pointing the way forward to a day of a new covenant, a new testament, no longer based on the ceremonial law and performance of religious ritual, but a covenant promise of a relationship of love. His grace freely extends his love. His mercy withholds the judgment that we deserve. He placed it on Christ, and when we by faith accept what he has done, there is no condemnation to those who believe because of what Christ has done, because we have accepted his freely offered gift of salvation. The old covenant was a covenant of ritual. The new covenant is a covenant of a relationship based on love. He himself, God himself, through the Holy Spirit, takes up personal residence within our hearts. That's the power of the resurrection in us. You know, we spent a number of weeks when we haven't been, you know, doing VBS wrap-up and welcome good folk. It's good to have you here today. And they were part of our VBS program. In any event, where was I? Just lost my train of thought. But that's okay. We'll get the choo-choo back. That's the series that we have been in, and I thought 2 weeks ago we'd kind of come to the end of it. But as I meditated the last couple of weeks, I just felt that we really needed to examine this whole concept of what it means to love God, and that he calls us into a love relationship with him, and what that means. The power of the resurrection in us is his presence. And if he is love, and that's his central attribute, then what does he do with his people where he takes up residence? He creates love, right? We can know him and relate with him and sense his goodness in our lives and sense his loving presence and realize it, his helping hand that helps us through those times. You know, sometimes life can get really challenging. It can get very, very difficult. And sometimes we may wonder if God really, truly is there. But here's the promise. He is there. Whether you sense his presence or not, he's there. And he's watching over you as his child. And we can have this relationship with God solely on the merits of what Christ has done, not ours. God can and does invite us into a relationship with him because of what Christ has done. Let me remind you of some verses from Galatians chapter 4, and then our last verse will come from 1 John for those who are listening in by way of the internet, 1 John chapter 3. Let's read these verses together. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Amen? Amen. He made us, he lost us, he redeemed us and brought us back through his Son and the work of him on the cross. But here, folks, is where the deepest need of the human heart is met. The deepest need of the human heart is satisfied in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, in knowing and receiving his love and forgiveness, and in truly loving God in return. It's by grace that we can have a heart that truly loves God and relate to God on the basis of his love. The legalistic heart says, watch it, buddy. Okay? There are churches that do this. Okay? Watch it, buddy. If you mess up, God will make you suffer and conk you one. You've heard that. Not here. Okay? But you've heard it. You've seen it. The problem is they usually think that God conks people through them. Right? Boy, you're slow today. Called my insurance agent this week, and he was kind of joking around with me. I said, you know, my problem this morning is I got up and I forgot my Smarty pills. Because I just wasn't catching his joke. But anyway, maybe I'll pass out some Smarties. That's not God's way. That's not God's way at all. Now, make no mistake about it. Sin harms our relationship with God. Sin in our life grieves the Holy Spirit, and it hinders His work in our life, and it withdraws that sense of His presence that, oh, you just never want to be without. But do understand this, that for the Christian, sin has already been judged. That's what this table is all about. Sin has already been judged. The penalty has already been paid in Christ. The relationship with God is one of sonship, where we can call Him Abba. That word literally means daddy. Okay? A relationship of trust and a relationship of love and a relationship of forgiveness. There's the legalistic heart. That's wrong. But equally wrong is the presumptuous heart that says, because of grace, I can do as I wish and get away with it. I've heard that. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. The very thought is evidence that grace has not yet completed its work. See, the power of the resurrection in us is the presence of the resurrected Christ in us by the work of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with a love for God. At the root of the heart that loves God is the desire to walk with Him and to worship Him and to please Him in every way. No presumption, no legalistic assertions. The legalistic types, by the way, by their own judgments, condemn themselves. Now, maybe someone has never heard of this one before, but and in that case, let me just illustrate it. When you point a finger at someone else, what's really happening? You got three pointing back at you, okay? And the Bible is clear that we need to be very careful, for by the way we judge others, we'll be judged, okay? True worship is how we live our lives in honor and obedience to the one who gave us life. I ask you a question this morning. Do you love God? Do you love God?
Yes.
I know. That's why you're here, to express that love for God. Or you're here because you're on a journey to discover who God is, because you haven't discovered that yet. And maybe you don't even know that you can know Him in a personal way. But God invites you to. But here's the question this morning. If you say that you love God, are you living as though you were in love with Him? Okay? Are you living as though you're in love with Him? Here's the evidence that we love God. Paul called it the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit produces in us. It's an act of grace. Let's be reminded of what this fruit is this morning as we read together Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I liked Donald Gray Barnhouse's take on the fruit of the Spirit. And he doesn't go into any detail on each one. He just tells us a little bit, just a little bullet point from him that's instructive to us this morning. He says that love is the key. That's the fruit. All of the others are a result of love in action in our lives. So here's how he puts it this way. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. If you say that you love God, are you living as though you're in love with Him? In your bulletins, I had put a quote for today that I want to read for you, because I want to then finish the quote. I didn't want to put it all in. I just wanted that first part, as we're reminded about the love of God for us, and he calls us into a love relationship with him as we prepare to come to the table of communion. God rewards those who seek him, not those who seek doctrine or religion or systems or creeds. Many settle for these lesser passions, but the reward goes to those who settle for nothing less than Jesus himself. What awaits those who seek Jesus? Nothing short of the heart of Jesus. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we become more and more like him. Pursuing on with this quote, can you think of a greater gift than to be like Jesus? Hear these words. Jesus had no guilt. God wants to banish yours. Jesus had no bad habits. God wants to remove yours. Jesus had no fear of death. God wants you to have no fear. Jesus had kindness for the diseased, mercy for the rebellious, and courage for the challenges. God wants you to have the same. He wants you to be just like Jesus. This is the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen.
Will be forever mine.
this, our Father, we say amen and amen. We stand here before you this morning. We're amazed at your great love to us. We can't begin to understand it all. But we know, Lord, in these moments as we stand here, that we are in your presence and that we can sense your presence and your love moving amongst us. And Lord, we pray for each one here today. We ask, Lord, that each one would know what it means to understand that you love them and that you call us into a love relationship with you. But Father, as we take the elements this morning, the bread and the cup, that remind us of your body broken for us and of your blood, your very life's blood poured out for us on the cross to purchase us back to you, that it all happened because of your great love to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us in these moments to worship you deep within our hearts and to tell you again how much that we love you. Bless these sacred moments that we share together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite all this morning who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ to freely participate in the receiving of the bread and of the cup. This might be your first Sunday walking through these doors, and that's great. Feel free to participate with us as we share, as the Lord commanded us to, the bread and the cup in recognition of his sacrifice for us. Please receive the bread and just hold it until we all have received it, and then we will pray together and then receive the bread and then the cup in its turn. God bless you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, where would we be without you?
Amen.
You set a perfect example for living and for dying. You paid the price for our sins that we might have the privilege of spending eternity with you. Jesus, cleanse our hearts from all iniquities, and guide our, may the Holy Spirit guide us as we remember the sacrifice you made on the cross for us. Amen.
Receive together in thanksgiving.
Let us pray and give thanks. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, our great Redeemer, King of kings and Lord of lords, Amen. We gather around this sacred table this morning to give thanks for this cup that represents your body broken for us. And Father, we just thank you for what you have accomplished at the cross, for our salvation, full and free. Lord, we love you and we praise you for all that you've done for us. Father, we just want to lay down now our burdens to you. We surrender ourselves to you. We come into a new relationship with you today to tell you that we love you and we care for you and we want to serve you in new and fresh ways every day. And Father, we just thank you for what you've done for us, that you've lavished your love on us. And Father, you just remind us again today. And we give you praise and thanks in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In thanksgiving, receive the cup. Father, we say amen and amen. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would descend upon each one of us. And as we enjoy our time of fellowship together, and as we go to our homes, may we do so knowing your great love to us and resting in that, but allowing you to show your love to others through us. This we pray as we ask for your divine benediction and your good pleasure to fall upon us, we pray, until we meet again, either here or at Jesus' feet. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. God bless you.